Good morning, sir.
Morning. And what time is it?
5 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock.
Oh, dreary morning.
Lousy. This slush is worse than frost.
Did you get the paper?
None were out yet when I came. I'll go get one right now.
Later.
You ought to get dressed. If you're not careful, you'll catch your death. Well, anyway, this pot of rosy leaf tea will get cold.
Why did you bring tea? You know I drink coffee first thing in the morning.
Because it's raining. It rains into a cup of coffee, but it can't rain into a pot of tea.
I suppose.
Besides, they sell cups of coffee, but they sell pots of tea.
You could have covered the cup.
I suppose I could have.
What a twerp.
I know.
This roll is soaking wet.
But I wrapped it in a paper serviette.
That's what I mean. Paper absorbs water. As I said, you're a twerp.
I heard you the first time. Let me go get you a fresh roll from the baker's.
I don't think you can. Where did you get this roll?
From the Central Hotel, same as yesterday.
Well, the dishes are still in here from yesterday. Don't forget to return them today.
Don't worry, I won't forget. Let me turn on the gas fire.
Have you brought everything we talked about?
I brought everything on your list. Toothbrush, large sponge.
Haven't we got enough sponges here already?
Well, I suppose we have. Well, I didn't think of that.
Have you got any brains at all?
I do. At the moment, they are otherwise engaged.
Who did you see?
Last night, I saw Mrs. Emmersley. I gave her your note and said everything should be ready for me to pick up and that I'd call for it early in the morning.
And was it all ready?
It was not. Miss Eve got the stuff ready for me this morning.
Did they ask where I'm staying?
Oh, yes.
And what did you say?
I said I wouldn't know. All Mr. Emmersley told me was just to keep the suitcase till he sent further instructions by telegram.
What further instructions?
Where to take the suitcase.
Did I tell you to make up such claptrap?
No, but I had to make up something. You told me, sir, not to let out that you've been sleeping in your office these last couple of nights. If I'd said a hotel, they might ring up and find out that you aren't staying there. At first I thought I'd say you're staying with us, but they'd never believe that anyway.
You didn't say anything about...
About what?
What I have forbidden you to speak of.
Of course not.
Not to anyone.
So help me God, to no one.
Ah, that's my boy. Did you deliver the note to Mr. Ashwood?
I did, sir, this morning. He was still asleep. I told him he'd better be in early before the others. Shall I unpack the suitcase?
No. You will have to carry it to the Central Hotel later.
Are you going to move there, sir?
Yes.
In the block where my old man's a porter, there's a room for rent with telephone and all the usual. Lovely room with a double French window. Nice people. Retired colonel. 30 years, Indian Army. No children at all.
You chatter a lot, don't you?
It just struck me, because I know what decent people they are. My mom does for them.
Just take my suitcase into the office for now.
Right you are, Governor.
Light the gas plate, Raymond, and put the kettle on.
Sir, yes, sir.
Hello. Tell me, is Mr. Taylor up yet? Good. I want to talk to him. Yes, it's me. Good morning, Danny. Sorry to be so early. You are right. It is urgent. I tried there yesterday. So they told me. I want your advice, your legal advice. And action. No, nothing to do with the shop. Purely private. Not over the phone. Look. I know this is an ungodly hour, but do me a favor and meet me at the Central Hotel in half an hour. In the lounge. Fine. See you then. Thank you.
Water, sir. Are you going to shave, sir?
Yes.
I'll get the water. I'd better switch the light on.
You'd better not. I don't want people staring at me.
It's dark. You'll cut yourself.
I can see well enough.
Faces south. Telephone extension in the room, on one entrance to the bedroom.
What's that?
I'm talking about the room.
What room?
At the Colonel's. You see, the flat is too large. Too large for them. 6 rooms. And there's only the 2 of them. Their daughter got married last spring. It was her room. I know it. Flowered wallpaper and a 4-poster bed.
That will be quite enough.
I thought I'd mention it, because I'm sure you'll never get used to hotel life.
Raymond?
Yes?
Don't you dare tell a soul that I've been sleeping here.
Why should I? It's nobody else's business.
Go on, answer it.
Raymond speaking. Good morning, madam. I couldn't say. I've just come in. I'll have to look. Mrs. Emmersley wants to know you're here, sir. Shall I say you're not? So I have no telegram with the instruction yet?
I'm coming.
Hello? Mr. Amersley is here, ma'am. He's just coming.
Yes? Good morning. About... Do you really want an explanation? Well then, I'm going to see Danny Taylor in half an hour's time. If you ring his office later on, he'll give you your explanation. No, you can't, I'm afraid. Raymond, wipe the receiver. It's covered with soap.
Mr. Ashwood. Good morning, Mr. Ashwood.
Good morning, Raymond. Good morning, Mr. Hammersley.
Good morning, my boy.
I got your note saying I should come.
Good.
So, here I am.
I've asked you to come because I want to apologize. I wish you'd forget how rude and unfair I've been.
Please don't. I haven't been easy to get along with lately either.
It started 10 days ago. I received an anonymous letter. Read it over and over again, but didn't make sense. It would be advisable to look into your wife's affairs as she is in the habit of meeting one of your employees. It was signed, A Friend. I just couldn't fathom that. Of course, one hears of such things. One reads about them in the papers. But to get a letter like that oneself, it is shattering. What does it mean? Is it a joke? Who'd play such a poor joke? Who could the friend be? I even thought that it could be my wife herself. Could she want to make me jealous or something? One thinks of a dozen possible solutions, except one, that it could be true. One doesn't consider that. The day passes, the night comes, but sleep doesn't. And all of a sudden it occurs to one what that wretched letter insinuates may be true. Next morning I found myself giving instructions to a private detective. While I sat there and gave him my story, I kept assuring myself that my only reason for being in this dismal office was to prove to myself that my wife was one of the best, because how could I go on if it were true? How old are you?
28.
Are you in love?
I think I am.
Do you trust her?
I think I do.
If you do, then look at me. I am 60. For 23 years, I trusted my wife. I thought my happiness was secure. And look at me. Here I am, with my white hair, fooled by an old woman who fancies herself still young, because her hair is dyed yellow and her nails scarlet, and the auto I gave her touches 80 miles an hour. She wouldn't grow old with me. She preferred to sell me to a gigolo.
Don't take it so hard.
I don't, my boy. That page of the ledger is completed. Now I'm going to open a new account. Up to now, I have worked full-time for my family. I thought that's how it had to be. I shall not do it anymore. Night after night, I was awakened 3 times. First, my daughter was coming home from a party at midnight. An hour later, my son was returning from God knows where. Then later, I heard my wife driving home. From where? The bridge party? Year in, year out, always the same routine. And it never occurred to me that I was getting up at 7, winter, spring, and summer, and fall. I went to work each morning and worked until night just to make it possible for them to spend their time however they wished. You know what, Mr. Ashwood? It's my turn to imitate them. I don't even know what this town looks like by night. I'm going to get to know that.
Is that really your style? You'd soon come back here to the shop. Your inside's upset and bored to death.
You really think so? Who else was I to suspect but you? You have been with me for 9 years. You are a friend of my family. Every so often my wife had asked you to dinner. Who else was I to... Saturday night, after you all had left, I learned that it was not you. Well... That is that. Take off your coat. It's getting warm in here.
Yes. Yes, it's nearly opening time.
The last 2 nights I've been sleeping on the divan in my office. You know what happened? Every night I woke with a start because I heard the night bell ring.
What night bell? We don't have one.
That's just it. You know, I had to sleep once a week on a narrow divan in an office, and I was awakened by the bell about every 5 minutes. Have I told you that I'm a qualified pharmacist?
No, but I've often wondered. You know more about medicine than this shop calls for.
Yes, but I had to throw pharmacy overboard. It was mainly my mother's doing. She got around the family doctor and made him insist that my heart was not the strongest and that I should come home and take it easy for a year. He didn't know my mother. I didn't come home. During that year, my father died and I had to take over the business. I took over literally the same family pressures that he had taken over from his father some 70 years before. I had to shelve a couple of my ambitions, and soon this place became a part of me.
I know what you mean. I really do. When I left here Saturday night, and the shock of losing a job had died down, I realized that I'd lost more than my bread and butter. As you said before, this shop becomes part of your life. Why? I don't know. Maybe it's the decency of three generations of honorable men that you can sense within these walls.
Thank you, my boy. It's a pity my son has none of the stuff you are made of. Yet, he is a brilliant boy, you know. You have seen the mantelpiece in his room full of trophies for kicking a ball, for hitting a ball, for throwing a ball, and for losing the ball. You cannot beat him there. The only problem is to never earn enough money to tip the bat boy. I sometimes toyed with the idea of marrying my daughter off to you, but that's off. I wouldn't let you get mixed up with my family.
The kettle's boiling, sir.
I'm coming. I haven't washed up yet. I say, Mr. Ashwood, could you do a show tonight? Fix something up for us, please. Excuse me while I get dressed.
Mr. Ashwood.
What is it, Raymond?
Are you in the know also?
In the know about what?
In the know about it. You know, the thing that happened after everyone went home Saturday night.
Yes, I suppose I am.
Me too. If I hadn't come back here Saturday night...
Yes, what then?
We would be closed now due to the coroner's inquest.
What are you talking about?
Can't tell you a thing. I've sworn not to. I left the padlock for my bike on the storeroom, and I'd come back for it. There was no one here, but the light in the office was on. There was such a funny silence. I could smell there was something going wrong. I peeked into the office, and my breath stopped. The old man was standing at the desk, holding a revolver to his head. You know, the one he bought last year after the burglary at the furrier shop next door.
And?
Well, I see him lift the cap to his head. I jumped on his back. He bit me, right here on my hand. I got hold of the revolver, but it goes off in the struggle. The policeman come in, but we tell him we didn't hear nothing. I make the copper a cup of tea, and that's that.
That is shocking.
What an old bitty his old lady is. With a husband like him, the old crow sneaks out, goes spooning with a spear. She'll pay for it. I had her on my list for a long time. As soon as he's divorced, I'll run over her with my bike. She can go spooning at College Hospital.
Mind that you don't go spreading that story around.
Me? I wouldn't say a word to anyone.
So tell me, Raymond, is the spiv Mr. Kelly?
Now what would be your guess? Mr. Smith? Give me a break.
Raymond?
Coming, sir.
Where are my trousers?
In the desk. Bottom drawer, right side.
Mr. Hammersley?
Yes?
It's a dark morning. I think I'd better switch the lights on.
Do as you wish, my boy.
I mean the lights in the window also.
Right you are.
And the Christmas tree lights too.
Those two. Christmas only comes around once a year.
Good morning, Mr. Smith.
Ashwood, I told you so.
Yes, you told me so.
What happened?
Mr. Hammersley sent for me.
Well, isn't that nice? Have you made up?
Yes, we have.
That's great. Is the old man in?
Yes, he is.
So early.
It seems he came in very early.
Is he still touchy?
No, Mr. Smith. He isn't anymore.
Not even a bit touchy?
Not in the least bit.
Would you call him cheerful?
Well, I would call him calm.
Is that so? I am glad. You don't know what a rotten Sunday I spent after I left you with the jazz club. I didn't even have my game of chess.
I am so sorry.
I need to go change quickly. I can hardly wait to hear your news.
Good morning, Mr. Smith.
Why, good morning, Mr. Hammersley.
How are you, old chap? How's the family?
fine, I guess. Thank you.
Glad to hear it.
He is quite at ease.
Can I get anything for you, Mr. Ashwood?
No, but where are you going?
To the Central Hotel.
Remember, not a word to anyone.
Why would I say anything to anyone? None of their business.
Not even to Mr. Smith.
No, it only concerns the three of us.
So, fire away.
Where to?
How did it go with Miss Baker after I left?
It didn't.
But you did talk to her, didn't you?
Only briefly. She didn't show much interest in me talking to me.
Why do I waste my time with you? I'd have done it if I were you. If you are in love with her as much as you say...
Now listen, Mr. Smith.
I'm not going to. You know what you are? A mean egotist. A pitiful sight. Because the tables were turned on you and you couldn't ride up on a white horse in knight's armor, you just brushed it all off and left the poor girl sitting there, reading her Agatha Christie. Do you know what you've done to her? You made her feel cheap.
You weren't there. You don't know how she reacted to seeing me.
I'll be back in half an hour.
He doesn't look cheerful.
Call me if it gets busy. I'm going to the stockroom to scroll another note to her. Perhaps I can make up for Sunday night.
Now that's the spirit. Hammersley's? Mr. Smith speaking. Oh, good morning, Mr. Hammersley. I'm afraid he's not in. He went out a few minutes ago. As I said, he's not here. Why should I do that? If he were in, I wouldn't tell you he was out. I'd appreciate it if you didn't call me names, Mr. Hammersley. Hello? Hello? She hung up on me. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Mr. Smith.
How are you?
Not so bad, really. See you in a few.
Good morning, Mr. Smith.
Morning.
I say, Mr. Smith, would you like to try again?
Try again at what?
At the sweepstakes.
Buzz off.
With pleasure, Mr. Smith. You're right. What difference would £25,000 make to you?
What are you babbling about?
You heard me.
Sweepstakes.
I told you last month.
Never again, right? Here, buy a ticket before I've sold them all.
I haven't any money.
Well, you can have it on credit till Friday.
Hand me a ticket.
Here, fill it in. Till Friday, mind you.
Have a nice weekend off, Pat?
Why, yes, I did. Did you?
I had to run an errand for a friend. Otherwise, yes. Ashwood is back.
I know. I saw his coat on a peg.
You don't mind, do you?
No, I don't think I mind.
Did you go to a show?
Not this weekend, Smithy. I had a bit of a headache.
Want an aspirin?
I think I have a cold coming on. I sat in a draught Sunday evening. A cold draught.
Let's see if you have a fever.
I haven't any fever, Mr. Smith.
Sit down, Pat. Here, put this under your tongue. You look like a sparrow shivering on a telephone wire. Let's have a look. 100. I'll go get your things. You better go home and get into bed.
What for? Go to bed and get bored? I need to make up the parcels. Raymond needs to be at the post office by 9.
Take it easy. I can do that.
Will you do that? Thank you. The orders are on Mr. Hammersley's desk.
I'll find them.
Raymond can help you.
All right.
And don't forget, please put a calendar and a sample of our new shampoo into every parcel.
No new scent?
No, Mr. Hammersley said we should give scent only to our personal shoppers.
Good morning, Miss Baker. Smith just told me you were not feeling up to much. If you'd rather go home, I'll explain it to Mr. Hammersley. There's no point in you staying if you're ill. Did you hear what I just said?
Would you mind leaving me alone?
Listen, Miss Patience, Miss Baker. Listen to me just this once. Get your things together and go home. Here, look in the mirror. You look like 2 pennies worth of cheese.
That's the limit.
The limit is that an adult person insists on spreading germs all over the place. As a matter of fact, I have a bit of a cold myself. Therefore, I am not in any danger of catching your cold myself. But there are others to be considered.
What makes you think they'd prefer your germs to mine?
I'd go home willingly if I could be spared. But we can get along for a couple of days without you.
Tell me, Mr. Ashwood, what is there about me that makes you so angry?
I don't know. Nothing in particular, I guess.
I won't feel hurt. Be honest, whatever it might be. In fact, I'll actually be obliged to you if you tell me. I'm not so conceited. I can take it. Really, I can. Do you think me dull? Does my face upset you?
I've never called you ugly. I've never denied that you are the best worker among the ladies.
Yet you said a minute ago that I could easily be spared.
That is not true. Please don't twist my words. What I said was that you could be more easily spared than I. And that's no insult. No one but a fool would stagger around with a cold if he's got a chance to take him to bed.
I can't even get a cold without being criticized by you.
Never mind about that. There's malicious criticism and there's sympathetic criticism.
And to keep calling me Patience when you know I hate the name. Is that sympathy too?
That's just a clear case of harmless teasing that I'd rather refrain from discussing right now.
And that scene on Saturday night when you called me a female Iago?
For that, I apologize.
You do?
I am very sorry indeed.
And what about the jazz club Sunday night?
What about it? You're the one who asked me to leave.
I did not.
Did?
Did not.
Did?
See how you hate me? You've hated me ever since I crossed that threshold. For the past 6 months, I haven't had a kind word from you.
That's not true.
It is. It is. It is. The others here all like me. Mr. Smith does, Mitch Richards does, Miss Molson does, Mr. Hammersley is always nice to me. Even Raymond likes me.
You're forgetting Kelly.
I am not. Compared to you, he's a gentleman. You're the only one against me.
Now let's get this straight. You talk as if I had every reason to kneel down to you and offer allegiance. You seem to forget how hostile your behavior to me has been ever since you crossed that threshold, as you put it. And you forget about the remarks you made against me behind my back. I was only too ready to help you fit in when you first started work here.
Are you kidding?
Haven't you tried to make a laughingstock of me? Didn't you say you'll have to meet my mother before you believe I was born the natural way and not assembled from spare parts?
Didn't you say you supposed I was twins because one single individual couldn't possibly be all that dumb?
Of course I did. After that spare parts remark from you.
As did I, following that wisecrack about choosing between me and a toothache, in which case you said you'd choose the toothache.
Yes. After you said that in my presence, you wish you had worn wooden undies to keep your body from becoming icebound.
I still feel that way.
Your wish has become true. Whenever I think of you, I see red flannel underwear. You know what you are? A landlady. A born boarding house nosy parker. A sour spinster looking down her nose at her lodgers and making everyone's life miserable. Incapable of loving anyone except her cat. You haven't a penny's worth of warmth and tenderness in you!
Why did you say all of that?
Because you asked me to! You have never loved anyone. Don't expect anyone to love you. And least all of me.
So I'm cold and unpleasant, am I?
You made me say it.
So I am incapable of loving anyone, Mr. Ashwood.
I'm convinced of that.
And no one could ever care for me, Mr. Ashwood.
Precisely.
That's why you're making a mistake. These letters you see here have been written to me by a kind, gentle man. They were written to me by someone who said he loves me. Someone very different from you, Mr. Ashwood. I'm not in the least bit hurt by your frankness. I even asked you to be frank. Now, how am I supposed to reconcile the wonderful man who wrote these letters with the imbecile who stands in front of me now? You machine-made doodle!
Have you persuaded her to go home?
You know now to whom I have been writing love letters for the past 6 months?
Yes, as we discovered at the jazz club Sunday night, you have been writing love letters to Miss Patience Baker.
Out of the 20 million in this country, I choose Miss Patience Baker as the one woman with whom I would exchange emotional outpourings of love with a view toward marriage.
It sounds like some kind of bad joke.
Mr. Smith, I have been an orphan since I was 9. I haven't got a soul to care for. I've constantly been on the move from one room with breakfast to another. I dream of a home of my own where someone waits for me, a wife. That's why I started writing letters, top box 105, anonymously to Miss Patience Baker.
Good morning.
Morning, Flo.
Morning, Flo. Mr. Ashwood, does Pat know about your past and about your desires for a future?
Of course. I told her in my letters.
Then try to figure it out. She spent all of Sunday evening waiting in a jazz club for the man of her dreams to show up. And who walked in wearing a sprig of heather in his lapel? You! Her arch nemesis at work. Give her some time to work all of this out.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Dee.
Good morning, Miss Molson.
Morning.
On the other hand, it wouldn't do for you to simply stick your head in the sand.
All I know is that I may never be able to convince Miss Baker that I am the sort of man in her letters.
Well, it is a hopeless task.
Has anyone called for me while I've been gone?
No, Mr. Hammersley.
Gracious me, there was a phone call from his wife.
What does she want?
I told her he was out, and she said he was in and that I was a damn liar.
Forget it. She'll ring again.
Get a move on, Raymond. You'll be late.
How the hell am I supposed to get a move on with all these deliveries lined up?
Now then, watch your language, Raymond.
I'd like to see you riding Victoria Road Station carrying all this lot.
Remember your place, Raymond.
Remember my place. Remember my place. You better give me some more stamps for the postage.
Is Mr. Hammersley in yet?
In his office.
Good morning, Mr. Hammersley. May I have the keys to the cash register, please?
Here, Raymond. You left this package behind.
To send a chap out with a load like this and a bike in this weather, it's a slap in the face to the working class, I tell you. That's what it is. A slap in the face.
Let me see the list, Raymond, so that I can figure out the postage.
Did you decide to go home, Pat?
No, Mr. Smith. I feel much better.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Mr. Kelly.
Sorry I'm late, Mr. Hammersley.
Don't you think we ought to start decorating the other window now, Mr. Hammersley? Please, Mr. Hammersley?
What do you want, Smith?
I thought we were going to arrange the other display window, Mr. Hammersley.
What? What do you want? Why are you pestering me?
The other window?
What do you want to do with the other window?
Arrange it.
Well, arrange it then. Why make a problem out of everything? Can you do nothing on your own, Mr. Smith?
Morning, madam. What can I do for you?
I want a safety razor, a shaving stick, and a brush. Pack it all up quickly, please.
Straight away, madam. Aftershave lotion? Doesn't he need any hair cream?
Is there a blade in the razor?
Yes, madam. 5. Anything I can do for you, madam?
Nothing else. I'm in a hurry.
Can I interest you in a new shade of lipstick?
I do not need anything else. Now, can we please conclude this matter?
Hand lotion? Eyelash makeup?
As I said, I do not need anything else.
Very well, madam. Here you are.
No change, madam.
Thank you, and good day.
Good day, madam. Please visit us again soon. Mr. Kelly.
Mr. Hammersley.
Why did you pester that woman?
I didn't pester her, sir.
You tried to force her to buy things she didn't want.
That's good salesmanship, sir.
Not in my shop. Not in the house of Hammersley. Have you heard her say that she was in a hurry? Why did you make personal remarks?
But I didn't.
You referred to the lady's husband as needing the shaving supplies. How do you know she wanted the shaving supplies for him?
She wasn't the type to shave.
You were insolent to the lady.
That's not true.
Not true. Am I a liar, Mr. Kelly?
You got me wrong, Mr. Hammersley.
Shut up for once and for all. Just shut up.
You seem a bit put out this morning, sir, if I dare say so.
You rascal, you swine, you rat, you scoundrel, get out! Get out of my house, get out!
Careful, Mr. Hammersley, you could injure someone.
Get out, I tell you, get out! Someone throw him out! Throw him out or I'll kill him!
Mr. Smith, please help me.
What happened?
It was shocking. For no reason whatsoever, Mr. Hammersley started throwing bottles at Mr. Kelly. Our best salesman, too. To throw glass about when there might be customers. Thank God Mr. Kelly dodged it.
He won't dodge me. I'll get him.
Was it one of Mr. Hammersley's heart attacks?
Who knows? Better call Mrs. Hammersley. Mrs. Hammersley, Miss Bolson speaking. Your husband is not well. I thought you ought to know. Very good, Mrs. Hammersley. She's on her way.
Where does Mr. Hammersley keep his drops? I can't find them.
In his desk. I'll get them.
How is he?
Poorly.
What has Mr. Kelly done?
I'll tell you some other time. Why are you still here? I told you to go home. Wait, forget that. I just need to say, Pat, that I am sorry about last night. Smith, get Kelly's hat and coat and hand them out to him.
You should be ashamed of yourself, Ashwood, in the presence of a lady.
Here you are, Mr. Ashwood. Kelly's coat and hat. Is he sacked?
That would be my guess, Mr. Smith.
Didn't I tell you there'd be a scandal with Kelly in the lead?
Raymond, what's the matter with you?
I had a collision.
With what?
Not what, Miss Baker. You mean with whom? I collided with Mr. Kelly.
Broadcasting on a new wavelength of 274 meters.
On the following Monday morning, after his last unfortunate meeting had taken place, another meeting was taking place in another part of London. This early morning meeting, being held extemporaneously at the Hammersley Perfumery, would prove to be a more fortunate meeting for all of those involved.
Raymond, light the gas fire, would you please?
7:45. Ernie's nowhere in sight. That boy is a waster. What he's wanting is more discipline.
You weren't always on the dot either, Raymond.
Well, that was different. I don't work by the clock, and I didn't lose so many hours during all of my training that he has in his first week. It's your fault, Mr. Ashwood. You're much too easy with him. The tougher you are on a youngster, the brighter he gets.
Good morning, Mr. Book.
You're late again, are you?
It isn't quite 8 yet.
What do you mean by not quite 8 yet? I told you to be outside the shop at 7:30 sharp every morning, right?
Yes, Mr. Bullock.
When I was a junior, I used to be outside that door at 6 every morning. Annie, you must make an effort or we won't remain friends.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bullock.
Now get a move on. Start with the storeroom and then do the office.
Yes, Mr. Bullock. Awfully sorry, Mr. Ashwood. I wasn't looking where I was going.
That's quite all right, Annie.
Are you going to the nursing home tonight, Mr. Ashwood?
Of course. Same as usual.
Would you mind taking me with you?
I don't think I can, Raymond. Mr. Hammersley isn't allowed visitors. I never stay longer than a few minutes.
I haven't seen him for a week. I'm sure he needs me. It just doesn't occur to him.
I'll think it over.
Thanks, Mr. Ashwood. I haven't even been able to thank him for my promotion.
Good morning, Mr. Ashwood.
Good morning, Mr. Smith.
This is a white Christmas for you. The papers say it's the first time for I don't know how long.
It's been snowing all night.
I walked all the way today. It's lovely to tread in soft, new-fallen snow. Makes you feel it's not such a bad world after all. Good King Wenceslas looked out on the Feast of Stephen when the snow lay round about, keeping Christmas even.
Good morning, Mr. Smith.
Morning. Here, hang my coat and my hat on my peg and bring me my white shop coat. I've been to see the old man.
How did you find him?
Not too bad for someone who's had a major heart attack.
You should have seen him earlier in the week. Dead nags look better.
Do you know who I met there?
Who?
Mrs. Hammersley.
Believe it or not, she's there whenever I've been there, almost every day so far. So is Miss Eve and Mr. Harrod. What's so strange about that? They are his family, after all.
Is this the right coat?
How on earth did you get your fingers so black?
I've been polishing Mr. Bullock's shoes.
Who in the world is Mr. Bullock?
Raymond. Raymond Bullock. Raymond Bullock Esquire to us.
Well, tell His Royal Highness I'll come and clean his nose for him in a minute.
Yes, sir.
So they've made up, have they? Just one big happy family again?
What do you mean?
Why do you think he fired Kelly?
To cut down on expenses.
Rubbish. He got information that Kelly was carrying on with his wife.
Well, how do you know that?
Because I wrote the letter warning Mr. Hammersley in the first place.
Well, why would you do that?
Because I have a wife and 3 children. Because I was concerned about him. Because I myself was afraid.
Of what?
I was afraid of every Saturday night. The cut has been imminent for months, and it was a safe bet he picked me. You even said so yourself. I couldn't afford to just let things take their course. Why should I lose my job when there was that playboy who only needed the job for camouflage? I use my wages for bread, for rent, for shoe repairs, not for pocket money for drinks and taxi fares. I got a bullet in my gut in 1917. I was bombed out twice in the last war. Why should I now be made a victim of economic crisis? Kelly could take it. That was why I wrote the letter. And I don't regret it. I did right. I did right. 1,000 times right.
I haven't said you were wrong.
Mind you, I did rather dislike the idea of the old man being fooled by a gigolo. But I admit, I didn't interfere for altruistic reasons.
Still, why write an anonymous letter? Why didn't you just go up to him and tell him?
You know, my boy, I sometimes get worried about you. Go up to him and tell him. He'd have fired me jolly on the spot.
Why?
You simple soul. He'll eventually forgive his wife for her unfaithfulness, but he'd never forgive me for telling him about it.
Well, how did you find out about it?
It was handed to me on a silver platter. You know, I mostly only walk home. It's my only exercise, and it saves me 2 pence, halfpenny. But I walked past the Park Café. There's a garage around the corner. About 6 weeks ago, I noticed a pale green parked in that garage. Well, there aren't many pale green Bentleys floating around, but Mrs. Hammersley has one. I went up to the garage attendant and pumped him for information. It was her car, all right. He said she often leaves it there. While we chatted, she and Kelly came out of the Park Café. I made myself scarce before they could see me. You know, Ashwood, the very sight of those two out together made me feel sick. Go on, say it.
What?
What you think of me?
I thought you said you had no qualms about having written that letter.
In fact, I had none. Not at the time I wrote that letter. But when the old man collapsed and the ambulance drove him away, I never dreamed he'd take it so hard.
He was bound to find out sooner or later.
You know what? That was the first mean act I've ever committed. It didn't pay. You have to be cut out for doing that sort of thing.
You got what you wanted. Kelly was sacked.
And Raymond is in. Unless Mr. Hammersley gets nutty about him, I again head the list of redundant employees.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. Mr. Hammersley sends you his regards.
How is he?
Doing nicely. If he had his way, he'd be here today.
I'm so glad.
Ashwood.
Mr. Smith.
Today is the 24th of December.
I know.
Christmas Eve.
I know.
What about doing a friend a good turn?
With pleasure. What can I do for you?
Take Pat out for a nice Christmas Eve's dinner tonight.
Can't be done.
Come on. Some nice little cozy restaurant. Get her into a conciliatory mood and then tell her how sorry you are for all the things you did here in the shop these past 6 months.
Impossible! She'd either slap my face or jump in front of a bus.
You really are an ass.
Besides, she couldn't possibly accept my invitation for tonight. She already has a date.
With whom?
With me.
How's that?
She sent me an invitation to her place this evening, and I wrote back to her and promised to go.
You mean to say you two are still writing to each other?
I'm afraid so.
But you are actually going to see her tonight?
We shall see.
What do you mean?
Because I still don't think she can stand the sight of me. I've given her hell for the past 6 months.
Shall I play Cupid and try and sound her out for you?
I should think you've had quite enough of interfering in other people's affairs.
That's true enough.
Hammersley? Why, good morning, Mr. Hammersley. How are you? That's fine. Are you sure your doctor won't mind? I see. We'll be expecting you.
Is the governor coming?
For a few minutes before we close.
Here's today's mail on the counter. Circulars, Christmas cards, invoices. Look, Ashwood, here's a letter for you.
From Miss Richards.
Isn't she coming in?
Congratulations, Mr. Smith. Miss Richards has chucked the job. She's not coming in anymore.
You mean?
Precisely. That leaves only the five of us. No redundancy. No layoffs.
God bless Miss Richards.
Merry Christmas, madam. And what can I do for you, madam?
Can you suggest something for a young couple?
People like sets of things, madam. This set is especially handy.
Good. I'll take one in white and one in blue. Will you please remove the price tag?
It is good, ma'am. I use that soap myself.
You do you?
Thank you, madam. Merry Christmas, madam. You too, madam. Merry Christmas.
I dropped the bottle of Rachel you showed me a half an hour ago. Now some snowbank smells wonderful.
What a shame. I'll get you another. It was this size, wasn't it?
For my maiden aunt. Make up a Christmas box or something. I don't care what's in it.
What type of lady are we talking about, sir?
Egad! An old spinster.
I know what you mean, madame. We've got the very thing. No man can resist this.
Not bad. But what a price to pay. Well, I suppose...
Ernie, a box of the new shaving brushes straight away.
Don't shout, if you please.
Where's the box?
Fourth shelf, left-hand corner, next to the hairbrush.
Is that all, sir?
You're a nice young girl. Are you doing anything for New Year's Eve?
Taking my children to see their granny.
Oh.
Here you are, Mr. Locke.
Ernie, hang up the clothes sign and stand by the door.
Yes, sir.
Young man, all the toy shops are closed. I must have a toy of some sort for my grandson.
Awfully sorry, ma'am. We don't stock toys.
What a set of soap animals do, madam.
Now that's an idea.
Your bill, sir.
No change, madam. Thank you, madam. And have a Merry Christmas.
Here you are, ma'am. An old zoo of soap animals.
You needn't wrap it up. I'll take it home and wrap it myself.
Thank you, ma'am. And Merry Christmas.
Oh, I could do with a hot foot bath.
Glass of stout for me.
I could eat a whole turkey.
Give me the stuffing.
Now remember your place, Ernie.
Hear, hear. What I've always said to you, Raymond, or Mr. Bullock, as you please.
Raymond, Mr. Hammersley will be here any minute.
Come on, Ernie. Help with this floral arrangement for Mr. Hammersley.
Where are you going to put it?
Over the office door, perhaps?
Why not above the entrance door?
Nice, but he might never notice it.
Put it up there on the balcony railing.
Ridiculous! They belong above the entrance doors.
Set up on the balustrade. That allows the trellis of fir branches to be seen better with the letters Welcome.
Top-notch idea, Governor. Come on, Ernie, give us a hand.
You'll like it up there, Bee. Just you wait and see.
It's not customary. When my brother came home from Burma, we put the welcome sign above the front door. It's always above the entrance.
Well, let's take a look anyway, Bee.
Oh, it's not even in the middle.
Too much this way.
More to the right.
Is that enough?
Too much. Back to the left more.
Is that enough now?
Too much. Shift it back 5 inches.
You sure it's not 5 and a half?
There. Leave it right there.
Yes, leave it right there. It's perfect. Good evening, my friends. Merry Christmas.
Mr. Harrisley!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas! It's so good to have you back.
It's good to be back. What a nice thought. Welcome. Thank you. Thank you so much. Mr. Smith, how are you, old chap? I had a dream about you, Miss Moulton.
Did I run off with the Christmas takings and buy stuff for the entire city?
Miss Baker, have they been treating you all right?
I had to be on my best behavior. Raymond, Mr. Bullock, that is, rules us with an iron rod.
He does he? Thinks some new clothes entitles him to be the boss, does he? How are you making out, my boy?
Spiffy, sir. Just spiffy.
He's a wee bit cheeky for my money.
And you are the new delivery boy?
Yes, sir. I'm quite new.
You look like an intelligent lad. I hope you'll be happy here. Here's something to put in your Christmas box.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Where's Miss Richards?
She has left. Turned in her notice this morning.
You don't say. Why?
She didn't give any reasons.
What did she say?
She sent us a letter just this morning.
I wonder what's bitten her. Can you get along without her?
Oh, quite easily, Mr. Hammersley. We're just one big happy family now. If I were you, I wouldn't bother replacing her, with all due respect, sir.
Do you think so? How about you, Mr. Ashwood?
I agree with Mr. Smith.
I think I'll take my coat off. It's a bit warm in here. Excuse me for a moment. I need to check my desk.
Where do you think you're going, Ernie?
To help Mr. Hammersley.
You buzz off. That's my job.
He looks older, doesn't he?
Do you think so? I think he looks less strained.
Everyone looks a bit drawn out after a bad illness.
Do you think Richard is going to marry her, Mr. Rolls-Royce?
I'd be blessed if I knew the answer to that one.
I've been wondering. After all, someone has got to pay for Kelly's expensive lifestyle.
Mr. Smith, Mr. Hammersley wants to see you.
Me? What for? What did I do?
What's he afraid of?
A possible disappointment. Maybe. We're all afraid of that one, aren't we?
Yes, but one shouldn't need to be afraid on Christmas Eve.
I wonder. I've been meaning to ask you to have dinner out with me tonight.
You were?
Well?
I'm awfully sorry.
To disappoint me? I expected as much.
It's a standing arrangement between Mother and me. We always spend Christmas Eve together. Won't you be at Mr. Hammersley's tonight anyway?
No. It'll be the first time alone for years. Never mind. I'll drop in and an old pal, maybe. Or accept my landlady's invitation to dinner.
Oh, I recall. The sour spinster, right?
You and your mother will be having guests tonight, I suppose.
Oh, no. Only my fiancé.
Oh, I didn't know you were engaged.
Yes, Mr. Ashwood, I am engaged.
When are you getting married?
That's just the question we're going to settle tonight.
Well, I guess I had no idea.
You didn't think it possible anyone would pick me, remember? It doesn't matter now that you and I are friends, but you did give me a lousy time of it. I couldn't complain to Mother. It would have worried her.
So you dumped your grievances onto your fiancé?
No, I didn't. I never said a word about you until this past week.
I know.
How could you know?
I mean, I suspected.
I told him you were mean, vulgar, and a coward. I told him you had the mental age of a boy of 12.
You didn't say that really, did you?
You're right, I didn't. I want to tell you something, Mr. Ashwood. You may remember you interviewed me for this job. You were very nice and, well, I fell in love with you. After a very short time, you turned against me. You made fun of me, you made jokes at my expense to amuse Miss Richards, and I began to hate you.
You're making up the part about falling in love with me, aren't you?
No, I'm not. Hate eats up one's energy, and I soon became consumed with hate. But even the hate faded away with time, and I started to think of you as just another fellow employee. I am friends with them, and so I feel like we've become friends too.
Thank you, Miss Baker.
Pat, and just because we've become friends, I do want to spend Christmas Eve with you and Mother.
So there's no fiancé?
Not yet.
Is Ernie coming too?
I'm afraid he's already booked tonight.
But you won't want me, a stranger, on such an intimate occasion as tonight.
You're no stranger. Besides, I think there ought to be a male present to discuss politics with my mother. She was a suffragette, you know. You don't mind, do you?
I don't mind.
So you'll come?
I will. Thank you.
You'll enjoy our little party. You'll see.
Pat, Mr. Hammersley wants to see you. Look, my Christmas box.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Ashley, did you say something to him about me?
About you? No. Why?
You haven't told him I've been worrying about my job.
Why the blazes should I?
He asked me to sit down and offered me a cigar. Look at it.
Why not?
He's never offered me a buck before. Then he inquired in great detail about my family. Last of all, he said there is no need to worry about my job as long as he was around. The five of us were the best friends he ever had, and he wants to keep us together. Ashwood, is there something fishy going on here?
Snap out of it. If he said not to worry about your job, then don't worry about your job.
It can't be as simple as all that.
Your turn, Mr. Ashwood.
Thank you, Pat.
Did you hear? Ashwood called you Pat.
That's because I invited him to dinner.
You did?
He's so lonely, poor thing. Come on, it's time to leave.
Hammersley. A good evening, Mrs. Hammersley. It's Mr. Ashwood. Yes. He's in the office. I'll call him to the phone. Mr. Hammersley, telephone for you.
Hello? Yes, my dear, soon. I won't need you to come and gather me up. I'm feeling quite strong enough to take a taxi. See you in a few. But we're about to lock up the shop. Cheerio! Ashwood, what are you doing this evening?
I have a dinner engagement with a young lady and her mother.
Oh, I see.
Had I known, I'm awfully sorry.
Oh, don't worry, my boy. I'm going home to my family. What do you think?
I think you are right to do so.
Could it be that I really feel ashamed of what I did last week? Luckily, I'm an old man. If I were young, I might not have returned home. Not even on your life. As it is, I'd just as well go home.
You aren't doddering enough for that excuse, sir.
Thank you, my boy. My excuse is 30 years of happily married life, for which she was in no small way responsible. Will that do as excuses go?
It will, sir.
She's promised not to dye her hair anymore and not to kick against getting old. But then, a woman who gives up the fight, is that good?
Merry Christmas, Mr. Hammersley.
Same to you, old friend.
Mother and I will be expecting you, Mr. Ashwood. You may come as Dr. Jekyll or as Mr. Hyde. We are not particular. So long, Mr. Hammersley. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, my dear. Why not take him along with you? I'm done with him here.
Oh, no, Mr. Hammersley. He has to go home and shave first.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Hammersley.
Thank you, Bee. Oh, step into my office a minute. I have something for you.
Oh, Mr. Hammersley. Not really.
Hop on.
You're in the shop, Mr. Bullock.
Well, maybe we should go outside. But remember what I said. Don't stoop over on the bike like you're looking for cigarette butts. Back straight as a poker. Right hand on the handlebar at all times. Left hand on your hip.
Always on my hip.
Always on your hip while you're peddling. That shows style. And if you've got to break something, break your blinking neck, not the bike.
Leave it to me, Mr. Bullock.
Good night, Raymond.
Good night, BT, old girl.
Crazy. Can't you call me Miss Molson?
Can't you say Mr. Bullock?
You need a good spanking.
Promises. Promises.
I heard that. He does need a spanking.
Gone my way, Mr. Ashwood.
Afraid not. I have an appointment with a razor.
All locked up, Raymond.
All locked up, Mr. Hammersley.
Gas turned off in the lab.
Yes.
Well, get my things then.
Already done. Here.
My walking stick too.
Right here, sir.
Carolers.
There's money to be made in caroling. Tips, you know.
Is that how you made your first million?
It all helps, you know.
Coming home with me.
You mean it?
Sure. Come on. Hail us a taxi.
Okay. Taxi!
It'll be a nice dinner.
Turkey?
Yes, turkey. What would you like me to get you for Christmas?
Something you wouldn't get me anyway.
Well?
A motorbike.
You're right. I wouldn't get you one.